This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Tom Foti in Washington. 10 days into a huge manhunt following a crab walk prison escape, convicted killer Danilo Cavalcanti remains on the loose near Philadelphia. He's looking different now, say police, clean-shaven, wearing a hooded sweatshirt, black baseball cap, white shoes. Police say for a while he was on the move in a stolen vehicle.
That van, it was found ditched in a field. We are told that the reason why it was ditched is because it ran out of gas. However, at some point overnight, he was able to get in contact with someone who he had worked with. That person is the person who called police.
Reporter Howard Monroe of CBS Philadelphia and from Lieutenant Colonel George Bivens of Pennsylvania State Police.
He is very determined. We are even more determined. He will be held to justice, and we're going to bring him back into custody.
President Biden's visiting a country with which the U.S. was at war for a decade, a half century ago. Now Vietnam's among Asian nations somewhat at odds with a more assertive giant next door, China.
I am sincere about getting the relationship right. And one of the things that is going on now is China's beginning to change some of the rules of the game in terms of trade and other issues.
Still, Mr. Biden says his visit to Vietnam is not aimed at containing China. Speaking there, Mr. Biden also expressed sorrow and sympathy for Morocco after that recent earthquake there. It is now blamed for more than 2,100 deaths. Thousands more hurt. Blood donations are badly needed, and donors are lining up.
I'd even think twice. We just run to here because it's one of the main things that as a citizen is to help each other, especially like on conditions where at this moment we speak in, they are needing help.
Hurricane Lee has weakened, but it remains a strong Atlantic storm with potential problems along the U.S. East Coast, even if it never comes close to shore.
It is still going to cause a couple of problems for the United States that everybody needs to be aware of. Large waves and dangerous rip currents. And that's going to happen certainly as the week goes on and the storm gets closer. Could also see a little bit of coastal flooding depending where it comes.
CBS News meteorologist David Parkinson. On our Health Watch, 3 years after the height of the coronavirus pandemic.
If you're like a lot of people, you may have old COVID kits stashed away from earlier infectious days. But health officials say it's important to check to make sure they're not expired. If they are, you can't trust the results. Extreme heat can also affect outcomes. At-home tests also work best when you use them in an environment that's between about 59 and 86 degrees Fahrenheit.
Correspondent Deborah Rodriguez checking gas prices. AAA's national average for a gallon, $3.83. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. The pandemic pause on student loan payments will be over soon. More than 70,000 people in Wisconsin are enrolled in a new federal repayment program. As Mike Moan reports, it figures monthly bills based on people's discretionary income.
More than 4 million Americans have already signed up for the program known as SAVE. The Biden administration says it'll eliminate some debt completely, and others could save as much as 40% a month. Robert Farrington of the College Investor website says it's aggressive in helping those overwhelmed with debt.
There have been income-driven repayment plans for the last 15 to 20 years. However, none of them have offered payments this low at 5% of your discretionary income.
Wisconsin officials note if your debt is eventually forgiven, that portion of the balance would be considered taxable income. Payments are scheduled to resume in early October after a three-year hiatus. The Biden program was recently announced after a separate student loan forgiveness plan was struck down by the U.S. Supreme Court. Opponents of the initiative have said it will burden taxpayers. While roughly 4 million people have signed up, the Biden administration says more than 20 million could benefit altogether. Farrington says awareness might be an issue given all the student loan activity right now.
There's a lot of information coming at borrowers, and so digesting it all, figuring out the best course of action is very hard.
Another feature of the SAVE program is for those who make their monthly payment, their loan balance won't grow due to unpaid interest. Certain elements of the initiative are being phased in. The website studentaid.gov has details on which loans are eligible and which ones are not. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Uh-oh, did a rock hit your windshield from that semi? Don't worry, Autoglass Now offers fast, reliable, and convenient service. For a limited time only, Autoglass Now is offering 50% off windshield replacement. Call your local Autoglass Now today for full details.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Miss our conversations on air? Join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
Hi. This is Luann Bird, and you're listening to Bird on a Wire, where we are having conversations about hope, civility, and action. Thank you for listening on the Civic Media Network.
Hi there, I'm Luann Bird from Bird on a Wire, your host for the Bird on a Wire podcast series. Also co-hosted by Civic Media. And thanks to all the folks at Civic Media who make this happen. We are having conversations on hope, civility, and action. And today I am so excited to introduce someone who has been very much a public servant in our area, Quinn Brunette, who serves on the Whitnall School Board. And we're going to talk about all things school board and education today.
All right.
So Quinn, start with, tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I just retired about a year ago. My wife and I owned a painting contracting business for 22 years, employed about 15 regular full-time painters throughout that time. And we were fortunate enough to find someone that was willing to buy it, and we sold it. And we're just starting to enjoy retirement. We have two daughters. Both of them went through the Whitnall School District's different schools, elementary, middle, and high school. My oldest daughter, Ashley, is now a teacher, a high school math teacher at Dopke High School in the West Dallas, West Milwaukee School District. And my youngest daughter just graduated from Madison this past spring, lived in Madison all summer so she could live her last days and enjoy herself, and had a nanny and job all summer. And she moved back after her lease was up, and just got a job in her profession, and very excited for her. She had a couple offers, and she took one that's going to fit her the most, and she'll be starting after the holiday.
Very good. So I met Quinn when I moved here, and there was an opening on the school board, and I went in to talk to the superintendent about, I was new, I knew the superintendent, I went in to talk to him about some stuff, and he said, there's an opening on the school board, and today's the deadline, and why don't you get on the school board. I said, are you kidding? I'm going shopping. I was like in retirement mode. It wasn't on my radar. But anyway, then he told me how simple it was to get on the board. And I said, yes. And lo and behold, there's Quinn Brunette on the school board. And that's how I met you.
Sure.
So tell us about that. What made you run for the school board?
So as I said in the very first candidate forum, I am not a book smart guy. I am a street smart guy. I started my business from scratch. I barely made it through high school. I went to Pius High School. I'm very grateful that teachers and my mom had died in my sophomore year. So my dad had his hands full with what's going on, and I got kind of got wayward. But the teachers at Pius carried me through, and I graduated. And college just wasn't in the picture for me. I was not a school guy. So the Whitnall School District was asking for volunteers to put on their 50th anniversary. They were going to have a block party and a party. And so I volunteered and got involved and was on a couple committees. And on the day of the party, one of the principals and a then school board president came up to me and said, we think you'd make a good candidate. Would you like to run? And I said, a candidate for what? And he said, school board. And I said, just the same thing. I said to him, I said, I'm not, you know, this deep thinker. I'm not the smart guy. He said, we don't need that. We have plenty of those. And a board needs a good makeup of different people, right? I didn't realize it. I just thought all the people that were on the school board were deep thinkers and very studious and very smart and had good educations. And while we do have those, you do need a mix. And I thought about it and I talked to my wife. And at that time, I was on the Whitnall Youth Baseball Committee as well. And she said, well, you got to give up one. If you want to run for that, you got to give up that. So I chose the one to run. And we had three spots open. And we had six candidates. And I came in fourth. I came in really, I was only 200 votes off of third place. And three established candidates. So I felt pretty good about it. I ran the next year and I got on. And that was, this is my 12th year of being on the school board. So that's what got me on there. And I think I'd bring a unique opinion, view, because of my background and being a business owner and knowing how to handle people, but not necessarily being the brainiac of the group. And as I said before, a board of this nature needs smart people, needs retired people, needs people in the community, needs people, moms and dads. You will be best served if it's a wide variety of people on the board.
I might argue with you about the smart thing. I think you're plenty smart. Okay, so, but what I also know about Quinn is he's very passionate, very honest, and dedicated, being on as long as you have been. So tell us a little bit about what do you have to do to run for school board at Whitnall? It's not the same everywhere, by the way.
Really, I truly believe that it's changed recently, but you got to get signs up. I mean, there's very little up until recently. There's very little. It was all about signage. You know, you can be popular with parents or within your subdivision or your neighborhood or whatever it may be. But you got to remember that older people vote. They vote day in and day out, every election. And how do you reach them? You can knock on doors. I believe you did that. I never knocked on a door. It just wasn't my style. But I got banners up and posters up and I got involved. And people knew me from being involved from the Whitnall Youth Baseball to the block party, and then so much more thereafter that I got involved outside of the boardroom.
Well, they don't always vote for you just because they know you. They must like you too.
Well, maybe, you know, and I will say this, women do well in the Whitnall Dual School District for whatever reason. And also, I mean, these are just common, these are things that are true. Maybe not necessarily get the right person, but the order of the ballot.
Oh, yeah. There's all kinds of little things.
Right.
But do you have to get signatures? I mean, how hard is it to get on the ballot?
No signatures.
What do you have to do?
You just fill out a form, a nonpartisan election form and get it certified and you're on.
So in other
you're not on the board, you're in the election.
You're on the ballot. And other communities, you might want to check with your local clerk if you're considering running, or with your superintendent, because there are different in some districts you do have to get signatures. There's different, it depends on the size of your district. So just let me know how it's not hard to get on in some areas.
Nope.
Did you have a particular issue you ran on?
So when talking to this board president and principal that approached me and asked me, there was a block of four people that had control, and they had the four votes, and they wanted to mix it up. They thought that it was pretty stale, and they needed somebody in there to mix it up. Exactly what they told me.
That's what they told you.
That's exactly what they told me.
So were you able to accomplish, once you got on, what you thought needed to change? Because I'm guessing that was why you weren't satisfied with things. You wanted things changed. What was it, and were you able to accomplish that? by being at the table?
Well, at my very first meeting, and I'm sure it's on tape somewhere, I was very active in the meeting, and one of the gentlemen was bullying a female member, and I stepped in and called him on it. And I think that changed the tone right there.
Wow. For better? You were able to get...
Yes, I think it stopped. I mean, I really believe it stopped after that. It just had to be presented and presented in public. Mm-hmm. And he did it. I wasn't looking, and it just naturally said, that's wrong. You can't just say that to her.
Okay. And then it got better.
It got better.
So we start
but
with
I
civility.
Also say, yes, civility, exactly.
You brought civility to the board.
They also got off the board shortly thereafter, so.
Okay.
But it went on for a good year. Those gentlemen were on the board, and but I just by stepping up and saying that, I never thought of it that way, but it's about civility. Yes,
it was about civility. I was going to ask you that, about what is it like being on the school board? Is it always civil? Have you seen that ebb and flow over the 12 years you're on?
It is not always civil, and I can say that I've always haven't been civil. You know, they say attack the problem, not the person.
Yeah.
And that's a good motto.
Hard to do when you're at a meeting and it's very personal.
And the back and forth is going.
Yep.
Yes, it is.
Yep.
If you can stop yourself and remember that, it'll do your best. But be honest, it's not always that way.
It's not. So back to your ability to accomplish. So the very first meeting, you set a new tone. What else have you seen change? What have you been able to get done? If a person is at the school board table, you do have some power, right? And how do you use that power? What has happened at Whitnall in 12 years?
So you only have power when you're in session. Outside of session, you have no power at all. You cannot tell anybody to do anything. Your power lies within a group of seven.
Okay.
And only when you're in session and only when there's a quorum. If you don't have those two, you have no power. Whether it's a committee meeting, you have no power. It has to come back in session in quorum.
However, but you're at the table, and as part of that power structure, you've been able to make changes. Because like you said, it was like 3-4 before, and then mm-hmm. you get on the board and it tipped the balance to another way. What did you do while you were on the board?
So I will say one of the biggest things that it really came to fore, because we just tour our state forest. We have a state forest on grounds. It's a spectacular area. And one of the last things that one of the board members that was going off the board had his son come in front of the board. And we didn't have any plans for this forest at the time. It was just basically a jungle. And I'll be honest, kids probably went over there and smoked pot and drank over there and did whatever. Those are the rumors. His son wanted to make it a disc golf course.
A frisbee. Frisbee disc.
Disc, yep. And I was strongly against it. And at that time, we got 4 votes not to do it. We got 3 votes, 4 votes, because... this gentleman abstained from voting because it was his son that brought the proposal in front of us. And to see the force now, if we had acted on it and made this go take a walk through there. It is not only beautiful, it is a great learning center for all of our kids. All of our kids and teachers love to go get it. It's our teachers and staff that make this thing work. They've cleared it out. They've planted the city forester is involved with it. So that's one thing that just really stands out, that my vote really mattered.
Full disclosure, I was on the board at that time. I was one of the yes votes. Mm-hmm. And I walked my dogs in that forest, and I can't get over how beautiful it is. And it feels so good to me that I stepped up when no one else would to get on that school board.
Yep.
And to also vote for that. They've gotten a lot of grant money to make that school force, and those teachers, I see them in the summer donating their time, and they're keeping
element.
It clean.
They're in their element.
They're in their element.
It's all for
wonderful.
The kids. It's all for the kids, and that's
wonderful.
What disposition should be about. It's all about the kids.
But when you started 12 years ago, the facilities also had some needs. And as part of that, you're a voice, you're at the table, you get to be a part of that. And when I got on the board, they were talking about all these older facilities, but no one had really done anything about it, right?
Correct.
And why is that? Why didn't it get done sooner?
We had an incompetent superintendent.
Okay. So then Also, though, the board still has power. Was the climate or culture on the board one of let's move this district forward at that time? Let's do something about these facilities. I know they've been studying them.
So these four members that had the control of the board, that's when they got off. And I remember the last things they said to us, and we were right in the middle of planning it, the referendum. They said, do something different. Go outside the box. And I know what he meant. They meant sell HCE, sell that, use that, and combine it into one campus. That's what their thoughts were.
There was some misinformation out there, too, that the board was ever thinking about closing one of its schools. So we ended up going to referendum the first time, and then the people, the school board members that got off, along with a few other community members, really campaigned heavily against the referendum.
No vote.
But I had a lot of experience because I had been a school board consultant and had served in another community. So going out there and getting a no vote still moves the district forward because it puts the issues out there. It tells people this is what's going on in our schools. And even though a few of those people campaigned against it, second time around, we got one of those people on the committee to take a look at, well, if you don't want this particular thing, there's still issues, maintenance issues, deferred maintenance, because there have been caps. There's caps on the budget. It isn't like a local school board, even though you all have some power. It's pretty much controlled at the state level in terms of how much money you're going to get. So if you're going to do some large capital projects, that is not affordable out of your operating budget. You have to go to the voters, correct?
You just can't do it.
Okay, so then tell us what happened the second time around.
So we had in between there, we got a new superintendent. And that made the world of it. The current superintendent put her heart and soul into it. Went to the communities, went to the Lions Club, went to the Chamber of Commerces, got involved, got people knowing, got brought people into their facilities. We had a citizens advisory committee
mm-hmm.
also, and get the awareness that these facilities are 50 to 60 years old and some are original, and you can't do it out of your fund 10, your balance, your budget. But more importantly, she got involved. She got people to know what's going on, and she put her heart and soul into it, and it passed easily.
I want to back up a little bit and talk about the former superintendent met the needs of that current board, so just didn't get that direction that the new board wanted to go in. That was part of it. This is the new board now, and we need to do more changes. So changing the superintendent is what school boards can do.
No doubt.
They have a lot of power, but you also have the power to give direction and represent the community when you're at that table.
Yep.
So you got to kind of check the pulse of the community and bring those voices, like you said, together, Quinn. That wasn't what I observed when I got on the board either. It was very hard to pull people together around a common vision, like this is the direction we should go in.
Yep.
And the community. So how did you see that happen? Because the second referendum passed. So tell us about that.
Well,
so you get a new superintendent, and then what else?
And then we did a survey of the people, and we pretty much stayed with the top 10 things that they said were important. And it's unfortunate because the next big, it's a big tick, the pool. Our pool is done. It's going to either have to be paved over or replaced. But the community was against it.
Right.
And that was a separate, on the previous referendum, that was a separate
question.
We didn't even.
And that went down.
So we didn't broach it, even knowing everybody full known that this is not the pool and locker rooms were in total disarray. we knew we wouldn't get the support from the community.
On the second time around.
Yes. So we went with strictly the things that we got support with.
And then they passed. I will mention one thing that was part of that. Quinn mentioned we all bring something to the table and you need a diversity of views. When I got on the board, most of you know I have a husband in a wheelchair, and I noticed some things that weren't quite right in the district pertaining to disabilities. And also we had a parent come to the board and say, these bathrooms don't work right for kids in one of our schools. And I'd lay my son down on the ground to change him. And when that became a part of my awareness, I brought that to the board and said, hey, we got to do something about this. And we ended up getting an architect or somebody, yeah, an expert, to do an analysis of the district. And so as we were planning for the second referendum, we now had good survey data from the community, which Whitnall still does. Mm-hmm. We had an advisory committee that was part of the process. They were now aware of the ADA issues, right?
Yep.
And you had a full board that was supporting this referendum. So all these pieces were in place to move forward. And on the night of the vote, I know I had to get off the board at that time because my husband had had a stroke. So life was complicated, right? But the board did such a good job of planning for this particular referendum. And then I get a call from one of the other school board members, Nancy, my friend, said, hey, Lou, she says, we decided, I asked the board if we to put all the ADA on the referendum at all the schools, because those are issues that are hard to get done again, mm-hmm, in the operating budget. And she says to me, she sent me a text and the board agreed. So that was on this referendum. So if you're thinking about something you care about and you want to create change and you work with your colleagues, you can make those changes.
You can.
And so you also have been a part of that. The district is in a much better place, I would say, than it was when you started, and you had to take us through COVID. So how does that work? How do you get, tell us a little bit about what that was like when you were on the school board.
So March 2020 happened, and, it hit, and we had to pivot fast. And you have to have good leadership in place with communication skills. And what our administration advised was to don't go fast. Let's just take it easy. And it proved out to be extremely the correct way to go. Some other districts jumped in right away and did some things.
Like?
I truly can't remember now.
Like closing schools and...
Yeah, no. No, everybody shut down.
Everybody in
March 20, everybody shut down.
Okay. We're,
then that's a different story. August of 2021. No, August,
so August 20,
of 20, 20, August of 2020.
Oh, when you went back to school.
But right then.
Yeah.
I can't remember some of the things, but it played out. We were a little behind and people were starting to get a little antsy. But it was the right thing because no one knew nothing, right?
Really, we didn't at that time. Right. And I remember contacting the board because I was unhappy because there wasn't going to be, I think masks eventually became optional for the Whitnall.
That's further on.
Further on. But even
March,
early on.
No, March 2020, everything shut down.
But you stayed closed.
No, we stayed closed. That was
March. In August, you were open.
And we came open, yes. But,
we
had, one of the things that we did, which was just spectacular, was for the kids that graduated that year.
Oh, yeah.
We had all stand out there in their cars. There was a parade. They came around, came in front of us, got their picture taken, got out with their family, got on a stage, got their picture taken, got their diploma, was there for them. We got so many kudos for that because those kids were getting cheated, of this graduation, the most important thing in their life at that point. And we did a good job of it.
Bird on a Wire podcast will be right back after this. To listen to this and more uninterrupted, listen on the Civic Media app, available on Apple and Android.
Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained.
This is The Shaw,
540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief, new sightings and looking different. The search goes on for that escaped killer near Philadelphia. He has reportedly stolen, then ditched a van.
We are obviously very concerned that Cavalcante has or will attempt to steal another vehicle to facilitate his escape.
Lieutenant Colonel George Bivens of Pennsylvania State Police. 50 years after America's long and anguished war in Vietnam, President Biden is there now calling for closer ties, especially economic ones in the shadow of Vietnam's giant neighbor China. But he's not there to contain China, he says.
I want to see China succeed economically. I don't want to see him succeed by the rules.
Mr. Biden just done with a major international conference in India. On the weather watch, watching Hurricane Lee still out in the Atlantic.
Along the East Coast, we are expecting dangerous surf and rip currents beginning soon and continuing through the week as Lee grows in size.
That is Lisa Bucci, a specialist with the National Hurricane Center. CBS News Brief, I'm Tom Foote.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A 40-year-old Colgate man is facing federal charges for allegedly entering the U.S. Capitol on January 6, 2021, and assaulting a Capitol police officer. Joseph Catani was arrested and appeared in U.S. District Court in Milwaukee this week. According to the complaint, Catani was identified through photos and video footage from inside the Capitol, and he admitted to entering the building, stating that he was pushed in by the crowd. The completion of an almost $300 million project that will deliver Lake Michigan water to Waukesha was celebrated yesterday. The mayors of both Waukesha and Milwaukee came together to make a toast about the extensive project that includes 36 miles of pipelines from Milwaukee. Faucet water will change over next week, and people are being told to anticipate temporary changes in quality. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
Ready to ride?
Just let me get my flip-flops on.
Whoa, Mom and Dad are going for a ride without their protective gear.
Quick, grab the checklist. I'll grab the gear.
Just where do you two think you're going without your safety gear?
Yeah, you know how we feel about riding without your gear.
Well, it's so nice out.
And we're only going for a short ride.
Not before you put all this gear on, you're not.
But...
riding pants?
Okay.
Check.
Motorcycle boots?
Bye-bye, flip-flops.
Check.
Armored jackets?
Nice.
Check.
Riding gloves?
Two pairs.
Check.
Last but not least, full-face helmets.
Check.
Now you're ready to ride.
And you look cool.
All the gear, all the time. Zero in Wisconsin. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov.
Be home on time for dinner.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
Cockroaches, not that bad. They call them palmetto bugs in South Carolina. Same thing, you can call them up here.
Are they really palmetto bugs?
Yes. Yeah, and they're a great source of protein. They're going to be the lobsters of the future.
They also got salmonella, and they can lay like 40 eggs at once.
Well, they gotta work out a few kinks there, okay? They gotta work out a few kinks.
Cripes Cast, every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Follow Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you.
Hi, this is Lou Ann Bird, and you're listening to Bird on a Wire, where we are having conversations about hope, civility, and action. Thank you for listening on the Civic Media Network.
So then going into August, so August of 2020, I think it was August 12th, the meeting that we had that we were going to decide, might have been even the 28th, it was right there. What we're going to do for the new year, and the house is full, and it's half of the house is masked people, the other half is non-masked people, and I made the comment right there in front of everybody that while I appreciate everybody being here, I wish you would show up when we have such mundane things as student achievement and financials and facilities. It didn't go over well with some people, but some people said, you're right, you know? And it seems as though we operated in virtual anonymity at most times. There's no one in the room other than us and the administrators. There's people watching on TV, on the feed, but these hot button issues will bring people in, right? So then we decided to go mask optional first semester, and you could opt out and have a virtual, but you had to, if you opted out and went virtual, you had to go for the whole semester. Mm-hmm. And at the second semester, then we did the same thing. And then after that, it was back to being optional. So we made it through,
and
our kids in school. And, you know, we had one period, we had 1 2-week period that we had a shutdown, go all virtual with the middle school and high school. It was mostly because the government said you could, if you were an educator, you could take off, because if your mom or your parent or a loved one was affected by COVID. So it was really the staff. We put staff in prop, and it was mostly the staff's family that they used this. The government allowed that. And so we had to go virtual for about 2 weeks. And that was really the longest. We had here or there, you know, like one class had to be shut down. But it really went uninterrupted thereafter. And it was optional, and the kids were back in school. Not everybody was happy. You're not going to please everybody. That's just the way it is. There's 2,400 students and probably 1,200 families, you know, that it affects. And you're not in, some are this side, some are that side, some are maybe in the middle. But we gave people options, and we made it through.
One thing cool about being on the school board is you know people. And I think you're right about the board as a whole doesn't have any power. I mean, the board only has power when they're in open legal session. However, as an individual, become
session.
Right into,
let's just say session.
Yeah.
Closed as well.
Yeah, that's right. So but you get to know a lot of people. And what I liked about serving on the school board is even after I got off, we're friends, or maybe not so close anymore, but maybe I have some disagreements with some board members, but I know who they are. They know who I am. And so my voice matters more. When you contact them, your voice matters because you've been there, you're known. I just think that's all helpful when it comes to taking action on the issues that you care about. And education is always going to be important to me. I don't have kids in the Whitnall School District. My kids are grown. Never did, but I care about education. I know how important it is to the community. So mm-hmm. jumping on the board is a great way to do that.
Yeah, I have friends and people that I've made that know that I'm on board and will email me from time to time, text me from time to time. I have one gentleman that is very, very involved with his taxes. So he texted me just a couple of days ago about, because Ailes Corners and Greenfield both got reassessments, and what's that going to do to our taxes?
What did you say to him?
What did I say?
It's true.
It is.
We had a huge increase in our evaluation.
Yeah, it is going to affect us, but I think it's going to be marginal. I really think it's going to be marginal.
Well, Whitnall is in a unique position. So I want to talk about that. But first, I want to talk about school board elections and the consequences of those. In around the country, there's a group called Moms for Liberty who's organized and going around and talking about things like banning books. They're talking about parental rights, making it sound like there aren't any, but there are. And also they talk about banning transgender kids from participating, and just really some, I would say, maybe a bit radical thinking about education. And it's a little scary to me, the books that they're talking about. It's history. And also they talk about not not teaching about race and being careful not to make someone feel guilty about what we did in the past. There's just a lot of weird stuff going on. So elections have consequences. Tell us about what you've seen over your 12 years of how elections have impacted your ability to get work done on the board.
So I think that COVID changed everything. As you alluded to, I think during COVID, parents got to see more. And I also think that the talking heads of TV, radio, all of them, have made a concerted effort to go to the lower links, the lower positions in the elected officials and try and make a difference there. And the school boards have been targeted. You mentioned Moms for Liberty. There's a group called 1648 Project, I believe it's called. And 2 years ago, we had the Milwaukee County Republicans Party hosting get to know school board members, right? It was hosted right here in Hills Corners. Yeah. And then we had a candidate that ran this past year called me and asked me what he thought the Democratic Party was campaigning, canvassing at the time. And they wanted to know if he wanted them to hand out his information as well. And so when you sign the election papers, right on top in bold lettering, nonpartisan position. I am against all of that. I spoke out about because we have a member that's Miles for Liberty. We have a member that's a 1648 Project, and one of the members also two of the members attended this Milwaukee County Republican Party. Get to know school board members social. And I said, whether it's a Democratic Party or Republican Party, it's wrong. Because what you can have, you can be whatever you want in your personal life, and that's fair. But you got to leave it there before you come into this room. Because if you allow those outside agencies to influence you, in my opinion, then it's not about the kids. It's about whatever they think is right. We have a state representative that wants to ban 50 words. He's one of our state representatives in our district, and he wants to ban 50 words, you know, let alone books. So once you start letting that stuff in, it's not about the kids anymore. And what's right for the kids may not be right for whatever political affiliation or whatever it is out there. And I think it's wrong. I think it's totally wrong. When I made that comment, I made it in live session. I got pushback by a bunch of emails. There was one or two that said, you're right, but most of them were, we want to know how our candidates believe, who they belong to, is the word they used. It's wrong. In my opinion, it's wrong. Mm-hmm. So the influence is there. I mean, we had one member say she read the new ELA. English language, we have a new curriculum, and she stated right out, I found no CRT in it, critical race theory. You know,
so
she's saying that to, I think, to talk to a certain segment of the community.
Of the community, okay. So what happened at Whitnall is very similar to what you did, correct? There are the school board. There's sort of a group. Oh, the school board is divided. And in the last election, we had how many? 3 seats open, correct? And of those 3 seats, there were, I'm trying to remember now, how many incumbents?
6 candidates.
There were
2.
2 incumbents. And it was...
No, 1. Jesse was the only one. Jesse was the only one.
Jesse was the only one. Mm-hmm. Okay. And he was able to retain his seat.
He did. The two other members retired. That were
longtime members.
Yeah. And then we got two new ones.
Two new ones. And there was so the board. There's also on the board currently a division. Right before these two got elected, or these 3. There was some.
Yeah, of course.
And you even had a board member censured.
Correct.
The board censured a school board member for, tell us what you can about that in a civil way.
Well, so I really can't talk too much about it because most of it is closed door session, right?
Right. But in open session, you voted to...
Because of... I know you want to see it because I can't differentiate right now what was closed and what was open.
Right, right. So just say the board member was censured, and in doing that, then this board member couldn't hold any positions on the board, right? What does censure mean?
It's really just a slap on the hand. She can't hold any committees. She can't do any official acts as say like graduation for one. She had to ask if she could get an exception to do that. So any official acts by board, 4th of July parade, can't do it.
So as a former school board consultant, I would say when a board has to do that, there's a problem. And the public doesn't look at one person and say they're a problem. They say that board is a problem. The whole board becomes accountable for that kind of stuff. So then this election happens, and now there's four people in power who replaced the incumbents that had positions. They took over all of those positions. Mm-hmm. The current board president has only been on a couple of years, right? He's in his first term?
No, he's in it. Yes.
Yes, he's in his first term. I think. Anyway.
No, he got reelected.
Okay, so he's...
the year before.
Anyway, the board, there's all new people running the board right now. And there was so much confusion at one of the board meetings that the board president thought that you could, by not approving the minutes, undo the work that the board did at the previous meeting. So we have to be careful who gets elected on our school boards. And I think you got to pay attention to what's going on there. Because right now, I got invited to serve on a committee. There's more needs, right? There's more
facility
needs in the district. And a superintendent who, I was on the board when we hired her, who I think has done a great job. However, there's people in the community that, you know, they get in disagreement with the direction the district has gone. And then some of it's around just, we're so politically divided anymore that we can't even talk about some issues, and you become enemies instead of just people with differences of opinions. And it's really affecting even these local school boards. So I was invited to serve on a committee. And when our superintendent laid out what's going on fiscally in the district, I was so impressed. I have never seen where a district could pay down their debt early.
10 years early.
And by doing that, save the taxpayers millions of dollars.
$2.5 million.
And then also look at, now we can go back with those other facility needs, potentially. And I'm on a committee to do some of that advisory stuff to give it back to the board. And leaning toward another referendum in 2024. I'm just telling you that is amazing fiscal responsibility that I'm seeing come out of this board and this administration.
Yep.
Are there issues? There's always issues. There's always disagreement. Are we doing enough for kids? I would argue that's the thing that everything should point back to. And that's hard to keep that focus when school boards want to micromanage sometimes and get into the details, you know, of what color paint or whatever. And, you know, that's not the board's job. The board's job is to set the direction and the vision, make sure that the people in the community understand what's going on, and then make sure that holding the superintendent accountable to that direction, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what's happening now on all of that? Now that we got a new board and you and Kevin, wait, who else are incumbents?
Myself, Kevin, Jesse,
yeah.
Karen, Jason, our new, and Rachel and Cassie, our new.
There's two new ones.
Yep.
But the other two that are newer got control of the board and all the positions.
Yeah, one is a vice president and one is a clerk.
So the tone of the board has changed.
Yep.
And how are you feeling about that?
I don't feel good about it. However, I do believe the new members, all members, want student achievement. You spoke about how deep into the weeds do you want to go, and that's the difference I see right now. Is these new board members want to go really far in, and I don't think that's our place. We just had a from a request from a board member, a really, really, really in-depth report where she requested, you know, dates and times of sessions, of training sessions. And is that what we want our administration doing? I don't.
Training sessions for teachers?
Yes, it was so, so in-depth. It's trust. It's about trust, and they don't trust them. That's what it is. That's as I see it. And I don't think there's any reason not to, but that's where they're at. So these are two former teachers, and so they want to get down in the weeds, and other members are saying, while we need the data and the report, we don't need this depth. It just happened at our last meeting, and I think that's really the difference is the trust of the administration.
That's a big deal. And building a strong team of administrators and boards, it takes a lot of work. And just taking action is my thing, Quinn. And I did call, have coffee with a board member that I thought might need some, you know, I would offer some advice about how to do that, you know, because I saw this particular board member as having some, you know, political power maybe. And if that's the case, then that's the person I want to talk to about how you can build your team, how you can listen to other board members. What is an effective way to evaluate your superintendent? What can you and can you not be doing? So that was a valuable conversation. I do what I can to try to help out boards because I do think, well, I just know it's our kids. Mm-hmm. It's our kids. And I do know that board members care about kids. So we get all in the weeds on this. I also called the board president and suggested he talk to the Association of School Boards about this idea of approving minutes. It takes, in my view, a couple of years to really get a grasp about what the role of the board is. And it is those bigger picture things. And that's where boards have power, by focusing on that direction and the kids and are they getting what they need in the school, not the operations side, which is the hiring of teachers and the training of teachers. That's what you delegate to your superintendent. So it's not like you're hands off, but it is you through the superintendent process is how you want to pull together as a board, give that superintendent the best direction of what 7 or 9, however many are on your board, are seeing about this person and what they're doing right. Often you build on a person's strengths instead of just focus on their things that need to change, but you want to also give that kind of coaching. So you're building a strong team of trust, and that is lacking on a lot of school boards right now.
Yep.
And the understanding of what it's going to take. But I do encourage you listeners out there to get in there, to get to know. And then even in, you know, I was talking to an instructional coach recently who was very concerned about where her kids go to school and what's happening there. And I said, the best way to find out what's happening is to have coffee with a school board member and pick their brain about it. Because parents don't always attend school board meetings. They can't take that kind of time, right, Gwen?
So, I mean, that's what they choose not to spend their time on.
Right. So they can call you up and say, Quinn, like I do all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's happening on the school board? What happened last night? Why did you vote this way? You know, I'm worried about this.
And I get more emails or texts than calls. But my information's out there and I'm free to do this, but I do get those calls.
Have you made a difference being on that board?
You know, I think so. I'll say that, but it's the outside of that room that I've enjoyed the most because of the title I have, I've been invited to do other things and within the community. And that's what really is.
And around the state, you've served in some.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Southwest. Committees. Southeastern Wisconsin School Alliance. Yep.
So there's more to it than just what happens in the boardroom, and that can be a bit frustrating. But I can tell you, Quinn has made a huge difference. I can tell you that even in my short 4 years, I was able to bring a voice to the table that I think helped to make it better. It also got challenging when I was on, and you know, you just got to roll with it. But education is important. And
it is.
So my big question is, Quinn, you're up for re-election this year. Are you going to run again? You knew that was coming, right?
Am I going to run again? I would say as of right now, no. But I haven't given up. the animosity that's involved right now on a biweekly basis, because we meet every other Monday, basically, the second and fourth Monday of the month. I don't want to put my legs through. However, you know, there's this fighter in me that says, you can't let it stop. You got to back these people, you know, back the people that we know are doing good work. And so.
Yeah, it's about the kids. It's about the kids.
It is about the kids. And all the other crap, I wish it wasn't there. And it's come on since COVID, and it's there. And
so, you know what they say, if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem.
Could be.
So I have to admit, you know, my personal agenda here was to get you to say that you're going to run again, because I want you to. I think you're a great board member. And, you know, what I appreciate about you, Quinn, is you admitted you've done some things wrong. You haven't been as civil, but I also saw you admit that on camera and say, okay, let's work together. Let's get some things done. And I do know that individual board members' influence on the board changes over time. You know, you can be on that board and feel like no one's listening to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
You've been there. And then all of a sudden it kind of flips where what you say goes. And now it kind of flips back where what you say doesn't go. And so I'm happy to hear you're going to stay at that. And I used to tell school board members, if you don't walk out of a board meeting mad once in a while, you're probably not trying hard enough, because that's just the nature of the work. Boards should represent the community. So there should be a variety of perspectives, a variety of experience on the board. You don't have to know education to be a great board member. And Quinn, you've certainly proved that. It's not about that. It's not about having all the knowledge and experience and degrees. It's not that at all. It's about passion. It's about caring. And it's about building trust and wanting to serve your community.
Yep.
That's really what it's like. And I got a kick out of people that would get elected and they would be like, you know, attorneys and very professional people, and they'd get on a board and no one would listen to them. Like, that doesn't happen, does it? It does, doesn't it? It happened because you're new.
Could be.
And it takes time to build that strong governance team to make a difference in the community. So I hope that if you're listening to this, that you get a good sense of what it can be like on a school board, how important it is. And like Quinn said, it isn't all about what's at the table. It's about what you can do in your community when you're at the grocery store, or, you know, when people see that you're out there working for them, it makes a big difference. It's more than just what you do at the board table. So I want to thank you, Quinn, for all your
years. Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
This cardboard order, is it up to date?
Camila's recyclable coffee cup factory can no longer be considered a grande.
Redesign, it's at the printer.
She needs more designers to jump the business to a triple shot.
Client wants to see several more design options. The logo's got to be bigger.
Indeed can help her hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Our hiring platform instantly connects you with quality candidates, and you can schedule and conduct virtual interviews right from the Indeed dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Uh-oh, did a rock hit your windshield from that semi? Don't worry, Autoglass Now offers fast, reliable, and convenient service. For a limited time only, Autoglass Now is offering 50% off windshield replacement. Call your local Autoglass Now today for full details.